You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Welcome, everybody. This is Scum and Villainy doing a B-team cast for points updates and all the fun stuff that's happened in the last couple of weeks. Kelvin is busy doing Pyro Lord things. So you've got myself, Starslinger72, better known as Tyler Tippett, the ship's cook, leading the charge. And with me, we've got Anti-Grapus, better known as Alex. How's it going?
Hey guys, pretty good. I do have to say, like, I don't understand why we're the B team.
Well,
based on record, just because Ricky is in here, like, it should be the other way around.
You're probably not wrong. Also, we have back from the wilds of the East Coast that we haven't seen in a while, Bob, better known as Major Juggler.
Hey guys, I do actually exist.
And last, bringing it up, is a slightly under the weather Kaelin, better known as Squishy Ball.
I guess.
Sure.
It's good enough. I have many names.
Excellent.
What I use online.
Fair. Yeah. So if you're ever online and you see a Squishy Ball, like, oh, like, wait a minute, I know that guy.
Probably me.
Double,
as long as it's double E's. If it's a Y, it's not me. It's a fake.
Ah, oh, those fake Squishy Balls. Mm-hmm. Last couple weeks, I think most of us have been pretty quiet, except, Bob, you went to a hyperspace trial, right?
I still refuse to call it hyperspace trial. It's a regionals, darn it. Can't we just go with store championship, regionals, nationals, etc.? Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
I mean, you can call it whatever you want. They're going to change the name in 6 months anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I finally went to a hyperspace trial. I think it was the first one I went to. It was definitely the first large second edition tournament that I've gone to. So I just flagrantly stole Squishy Ball's list, Kaelin's list, because I heard he did good at it, and I'm a dirty netlister. So it went pretty well. I had a bye, round one, and then round two, I proceeded to lose my first game. So great, I'm at 1-1. And after that point, I actually won out. I won 6 in a row and ended up winning the tournament. So 41 people were there. And yeah, went 4-1. And props and shout out to our local game store. It wasn't hosted at our local game store, Battlegrounds Molten, that I played at. But the top eight had four of us from Battlegrounds representing the top eight. So that was pretty cool.
Can you refresh us on what that list was?
Aha, it was Rebels with Y-ons, because everyone's flying that now. So specifically, this was Wedge with Swarm Tactics, and Horton in a Y-Wing with Ion Cannon Turret, Veteran Gunner, and Biggs. Oh, and sorry, I almost forgot Horton had Selfless, which is super important. And then Biggs just kind of all by his lones himself, but hey, turns out Biggs is still good. And PS1, or I should say Initiative 1, Partisan Renegade, the U-Wing, with Leia, and Tactical Officer just to round the points out, because there was a couple extra points. So this
it
list
turns
is...
out White Coordinate's pretty good.
Yeah, White Coordinate's good, but that would definitely be the first thing that you would chuck off the list. I didn't tend to use it that much. I used it a couple times at the local game store on League Night, just to, like, white coordinate some weird barrel roll so I could then do a K-turn to get behind somebody sort of thing. But it was definitely not the most important thing in the list. The most important thing in the list is you just can't kill anything right away because Biggs and Horton soak damage. So in my seven games, I think I lost Wedge once, and that was in the game that I lost. So that's pretty good when Wedge is initiative 6 and smashes stuff in the face and can make somebody else initiative 6 with perfect information to kill somebody before they can shoot. So, yeah, it just goes back to the first edition math of if you can't focus fire, then you get a tremendous efficiency gain. And it's in this case, it's not quite as good as having a fifth ship, but it's pretty close. It's definitely worth a lot. So I was able to kind of do what the list is supposed to do, which is to set up the rocks to encourage or force my opponent to joust me. If I can get them to fall through the rocks a little bit and I can get a better approach vector, then all the better. But it's just a very jousty list, and don't forget your triggers. So managed to do that for the most part. I actually forgot some triggers in the first game I played in round two, which is part of why I lost the game. But yeah, it was a fun day, but it was really long. They did everything all in one day, and they got started at like 10:30, and we finished the final table. It was close to like 12:30 a.m. So I was glad to be done by the end of it. But yeah, that was cool. So thank you again, Kaylin, for the list. Yeah, it was a top eight cut. So it was, I think almost everybody that was 4-1 ended up making the cut. I ended up being the number two in Swiss overall. I had the highest MOV of any of the 4-1 players. I had two games that were virtual wipes. It was like 200-50 sort of thing on that ballpark. And the game that I lost was 148-153. It was a really, really close loss. And so my MOV was just kind of silly good.
That's really good. Well, that's like eight games in one day is quite a bit.
I didn't have to play the first one, but I was still physically present for it. So, I played seven. I was around for eight.
So you need better TOs. So the Gold Squadron regional every year, I use my store championship buy there, and I just call ahead and let them know, hey, I'm coming, we're on our way, I'm just going to show up by round two. We're not going to be there for the first round.
Yeah, so in this case, the TO that was supposed to be TOing apparently got sick or something and called out like an hour before the tournament. And so one of my buddies from our local game store that is, I want to say like an aspiring TO, this was his first big tournament that he's TO'd. He just decided to step in. And the only software that we could get working on the computer down there for tournament tracking was FFG's Tome beta. Woohoo! There was some pairing issues at some point. We weren't planning on taking a break, but he had to kind of reconstruct the whole tournament like at least once or twice. And so people ended up getting a break after that round while he got it fixed. So he was definitely a trooper. So shout out to Evan for stepping in on super short notice. And he ran a pretty tight ship. But yeah, I guess around here, we generally don't like call in a bye because we like want to make sure that people are actually around. We actually had an issue in a regionals in a previous year where the reverse happened, where people had pre-registered. They maybe didn't pay, I'm not sure, but they had pre-registered and they had a bye, but they didn't show up and the tournament organizer put them into the tournament anyway, and their opponents ended up getting byes. It was kind of strange. So I can see that both ways.
Usually, to get the bye, you had to be usually present because you had to submit your list the day of, but now with the app now, you should be able to submit your list ahead of time. Like, when we're going to run ours...
Oh, we sent our list in. Like,
yeah, if you send your list in and you know, like, you contact, you know that you're on the way, then confirm that you're going to be there, it's usually pretty fine. But like, yeah, it would have to be one of those things. All lists must be submitted before that time because you don't want them to show up. Like, okay, what was the first rounds of what people brought? Here's my list. Submit your list in round two because you went by. But overall, yeah.
Oh, so since Ricky's not here, let's talk about his baby without him. Aces League. I hear there's some big news.
So it's Chris V. Morgan in the finals. That's going to happen at some point in time. I lost against Chris last night. I think it was last night. Last night or two nights ago, I can't recall. They all run together at this point. And I was actually talking to him today about the game because he listened to our last cast, I think, today, and got to the point where we were discussing me and his matchup. And I basically said, if I don't lose two TIE fighters on the opening exchange, I feel fine. And then shockingly, I lost two TIE fighters on the opening exchange. So it was a tight game. We both had like really good reds early and pretty terrible greens. And that meant that like I killed his Gideon, he killed two TIE fighters, and then he kept one tapping TIE fighters and I kept putting damage down. And I got it down to his Vader killed me on the turn that I killed his countdown, which was his.
So I was going to ask, what are the lists? Sounds like you're both Imperial here. You were TIE form.
Well, okay. So I talked to Chris about my idea for a list at Crate Cup, and then we got paired against each other. And so I took the list slightly modified, and he brought his Thai salad. So it's he was running Vader, Vermile, Gideon, and Countdown. And he had Crackshot on both Gideon and Countdown. And then Vader was like FCS Afterburners. And like that list has some flexible points in it, but they generally run Death Troopers, but he knew I wouldn't run Resistance, so he could drop Death Troopers off of it and get the crack shots and FCS, basically. And he also wanted a bid, because in the I was running Vader with Sense and FCS Afterburners, and then five Academies. But generally, you have, like, Delmico in there, and you don't have a bid. But I knew he, like, I'd talked to him about it, and so I knew I was going to outbid his Vader, and I did. And my Vader went last and did fine. It was just one of those... I ran out of blockers for my Sense Vader, and then couldn't kill his Vader before his Vader killed me. I think he was on two hull. So I mean, it was a tight game. It was fun. And Will, we talked about last time, lost to Morgan in the finals or in his quarterfinal game. So it's going to be Chris v. Morgan, and it's actually better that Chris won after the fact, because I was like, oh, when can I play Morgan? Well, generally the only way to play Morgan, because of such a big time zone difference, is on a weekend, like on a Saturday where I can play during the day kind of a thing. And I don't have a weekend free until like May. So we might have had a prolonged just not finishing this tournament for a while if I had won. So Chris and Morgan, sometime in the future. That's pretty much Aces League. We'll finish that out. And then figure out what we want to do with it from there. I know Ricky's got some ideas on different things that he wants to run, so be on the lookout for that. And then I guess we had some pretty big news in the X-Wing world area.
Yes, they finally came with the rules clarifications.
Yeah, they did.
Roger, roger.
Yeah. Just briefly, we'll mention those. Basically, they just clarified how Han worked.
Yeah, they clarified. Yeah.
Yeah, which, as someone who's trying to, like, go large league, like, I'm glad they finally resolved that. And then they said that Toronto Talon rolls don't work like that. As long as you can make one of the three positions, like, you're good. So.
Yep.
So, actually, we had something happen. It was round five. I was playing against, actually, another buddy from our local game store. And we had a scenario where he was Talon rolling and, like, the rocket bumps. So then I wasn't, like, sure, oh, no, was he going to clear? Like, I thought he was maybe going to hit the rock, and he thought he was fine. So then we're like, what do we do? But then I was like, wait, can you just back it up? So he just backed it up, and it was fine, and he totally fit in there. So we kind of avoided the need to, like, have to call a TO over or anything like that. But I guess it hits on this rule. So the rule clarification, again, for reference is what you, if you do a Talon roll, you have to put your ship in one of the three spots, if able, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Seems like it makes sense.
As long as it fits in one of the three. If it fits in one of the three, you can clear it. I guess other things to bring up, I guess in that they clarified inertial dampeners and carrying Jairus's interaction. Because that was actually different than how it was in 1.0, so they do work with each other to say it's the same timing window. So you can Jairus the initial adapter's stress off. If you do take the stress first from initial adapters.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So not much right now in hyperspace with that, but people were bringing that up because one of the things initial adapters isn't the one you only just take damage to do it. So you could technically have, I guess, a Falcon stay still repeatedly if you wanted to, or
oh yeah, that's been a thing.
Yeah.
Han just in the corner and it's annoying.
Yeah. Other than that, cleared on Han's ability with, I guess, dice rolling, and it is a modification.
But I guess we can get to, like, the actual real news now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I call it real. Oh, we got gas clouds. Gas clouds are in the game now. Those are cool. You can use those. They had, like, two new factions drop, and we got all their points for them, and I mean, I guess that's okay.
And they also added some new ships to hyperspace.
Yeah. I guess that's actually probably the most enjoyable part of everything that we found out. Although that's,
I think it was the most surprising. I was not expecting them to modify the hyperspace format, seeing it just started.
I agree a lot. I'm I'm personally glad they did, because I feel like it's gonna give a little bit more variety to everything. Which I agree. See is a positive thing. I know a lot of people are upset because you apparently can't find interceptors or bombers or that kind of stuff on store shelves. There's still a million ways to find them. eBay has lots. I'm not saying you need to go eBay stuff, but like if you wanted a interceptor, there's tons of that out there.
Yeah, I'm not sure about everyone else's store, but here in Vancouver, British Columbia, every single game store is still fully stocked with 1.0. We have not had an issue.
Yeah, well, and there are legitimately areas that don't have access to, like they just don't have certain ships anymore. Like they just don't exist. Like that's
oh, completely.
But like yeah. So yeah, we had a few ships added. What else? We had bomber and interceptor for Empire, bringing them up to 6 ships. Which I would like to see the Lambda in there as well, because if their core was Lambda, Bomber, Interceptor, TIE Fighter, TIE Advanced, and then like plus some like 2 other ships or whatnot, like whatever the coolness is, I'd be pretty happy with that. I feel like that gives me like a flavorful Empire core.
Yeah, I think they could have added a lot of Lambda to give another traditional security incursion. I was stuck with a Reaper.
Yep. Rebels picked up B-Wings. And
B-wings, A-wings. Yeah, and the remaining U-wing pilots.
Yeah, and they got the renegade U-wing pilots. So I'm cool with that too. Like once again, it's the same like rebel core, not necessarily the U-wing, but like the BAXY. All seems like that. Those are the ships that I want to see in there. Scum picked up the Star Viper,
and the Z95, which is getting released with a sleeve.
Yep, and then that was pretty well. So then like First Order. Got their biohex encrypt codes.
Which I don't know why it was not included in first place, but sure.
I feel better with it without Null having squad leader. Like,
yes.
Null having squad leader with biohex was real dumb. Like, now Tavson being able to do Tavson things with it, I'm in. Fine. Like, yeah. I don't care that his power level goes up a little bit.
Yeah, you pretty much just only me sitting on that. Absolutely. We also had the generic upgrades of barrage rockets, jamming beam, and tractor beam added.
Yep. So now you can have your free jamming beams.
You can have free jamming beams with everyone, boys.
Did anything in resistance? Was there anything resistance not?
No, resistance was completely all hyperspace already. So yeah, they got
that's what I thought. Cool. And then we got the Confederacy and Republic added. So we have droids and we have Jedi.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a bunch of them on the tables in the next couple weeks as we get the new. I'm not sure how well they're going to perform in the regional level events, but maybe some will make through just with the sheer volume of them. But on the surface level, I feel like the Republic's going to suffer because it feels like I'm playing Rebels without the support of other Rebel ships. And the droids, like I think they'll have a few good ships, but man, those Vulture droids are very fragile.
Yeah, like my initial thought is everything that I've looked at in both Republic and Confederacy, I feel like other factions just do better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's I want to run like I want to do Maul with some cool stuff and I want to run some Vulture droids by it, and then you point it all out and you're like, oh, I get Maul with 5 Vultures that don't have any upgrades. Okay.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't feel like that's gonna. I don't feel confident taking that list against anything that is a normal tournament list that I would be worried about seeing. And the same thing kind of is in Resistance as well. It's like, okay, cool, I can run some of these Jedi Starfighter, but like, man, are they real expensive. And
well, the Republic, yeah.
Yeah. The Republic arcs seem cool, but I don't know is like 3 arcs is actually a scary list. Like, it might be an interesting list, but I don't know is it actually scary.
I think this is get chewed apart by those Y-Wings.
right, yeah.
The 9 hit points, 1 agility is not going to give you that much longevity versus most lists that are now running in hyperspace. Like, I can see, like, at least with the helping the droids, at least right now, the Separatists, is the initiative values have lessened in hyperspace because of the Y-Wings, so you might be able to actually out pilot skill the opponent or out initiative the opponent just by having, even though the Separatists are on the lower level, that they'll still be higher than the 2s. But just having like your entire list being 3 to 4 is your highest, other than Maul being at 5, is gonna really struggle versus any list that like when initiative 4 ships become the ace on the table, it feels kind of bad for them.
I mean, well, no, it feels real good for that Initiative 4 pilot, but...
Well, so this is good for the Initiative 4 pilot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when you're, like... I guess it's good if anyone takes Arvel. Like, Arvel can't bump anyone because everyone's underneath him. So he has to literally crash himself into people.
I am still interested in the probe droids, the Dank 1 droids. Those seem cool. But, like, once again, like, I don't think it's enough. Yeah, there's a... I don't know. Like, I also think it's interesting that, like, okay, I could have maybe seen Confederacy in hyperspace. And then they went and did things like add B-wings and interceptors to TIE bombers. Like, barrage bombers are just going to murder them. Like, can you imagine five vultures with, like, Maul, like, trying to fly into five barrage rocket bombers?
Or like, four barrage rocket bombers in Cerdafel?
Yeah, just, like... Yeah, right, same idea. Like, well, I mean... Sure, I would rather have Jonas and other upgrades, right?
No, yeah, but you can't.
Well, no, it's not five bombers and fell; it's four bombers and fell.
Four bombers and fell. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, let's have the dice off. Your bombers have barrage rockets and focus versus energy charge. So,
well, no. But that's the thing is, you don't get energy charge if you're bringing a real ship. Yeah, that's what like. Yes,
it's when a barrage rocket fire and kill you instantaneously.
Right. Yep.
Because you're that. You have two agility behind and three hits with a single calculate token.
Well, you have access to lots of calculate tokens, but they're going to go real fast. For sure. I feel it's interesting because when Wave 2 got released, I felt like both Resistance and First Order were very aggressively priced. Like, hey, man, these ships all feel really good. Like, even things like generic TIE SFs, like, I feel like in mass, those are still okay. Right, at the price points?
Yeah.
I feel like all of Wave 3 is very conservatively priced, and they were really worried about, you know, making Mass Vulture too good, or, like, the Torrents seem real bad, too. Like, same thing. They just seem too expensive for roughly how bad they're going to be.
Yeah. I think that it's, like, one of the things, are they priced for the future, and they don't want to change them again? But they have the ability to change it. So when the faction gets more fleshed out, when more ships do get released...
Yeah.
They might start feeling a bit better. But yeah, right now, just. We'll have to see. You never know. It could be some little secret list out there that actually completely utilizes it and wins everything. So we'll have to see in the next couple of weeks.
True. Alex, what's that?
So I'm curious. What do you guys think about the ARC? That's 42 points for the Initiative 2-1, and it's got 9 hit points with attack 3 front ARC and then the 2 rear ARC. That one's coming out to be reasonably cost-effective. That's the only thing I've seen so far that sticks out as being...
Yeah, but like, you take four of them and fit a single torrent, and then we can just swarm it, but without any other abilities or added to it, it just feels...
Well, like, so...
Flying four medium bases is really difficult in formation. comparison to the small bases.
And I don't even think you put the torrent in there. It's like Sinker and then 2 7th Fleet Gunners. To give you a bigger upfront hit, like okay, so like yes, the generic ARC is priced I think that's a decent price point. It's just everything else is like, man, I don't like any of this. So
yeah, paying 5 points to go to Initiative 3 and get a talent slot.
Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a bit of a much. So, but I can see why. It's kind of hard. I think they didn't want to have, I guess, you like allow you to take 4 7th Fleet Gunner arcs. So that's why it's at 42. But I guess they had to just name pilots to go down.
Right.
Because the 7th Fleet Gunner is really good, adding that 4th dice.
Sure is. Man, let me tell you, all my Striker bros really wish they had access to that card.
Yeah.
Like, that would feel real great on a Striker. Like, well, Striker's already a little expensive as is, but, I mean, yeah.
Well, I think anyone that has a gunner slot that can't double tap, 7th Fleet Gunner would want to be strapped to it.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, it's because it doesn't affect you, it has to affect a friendly ship, right? Like another friendly ship. Right? So it can't affect yourself, so you got to have allies that are shooting at the same guys you are.
Oh, yeah, I see.
But still, right? Like.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
Maybe you could stack them. So if you had 2 7th Fleet Gunners and you accept someone else's rear shot to 4. Right? That's then make it a dice. Just giving you extra dice on the table, especially on a shot you really want.
Well, I mean, it's torpedo the gunner slot, right?
Yeah.
Like,
that you can keep using. It's not the game.
Yep. But yeah, yeah. Well,
you reload it.
Yep. So I don't know. Yeah, no, I agree, Bob. I think that's a price point, or that's a point to look at if you're wanting to play those factions. There's cool things in the factions. I just don't think everything else is priced well enough to like make it matter. Because like Maul with hate, and like you can put all kinds of stuff on him. Like he's got a lot of cool tricks that he can do. And I think that ship is okay. I think it's going to suffer from the fact that it's like a 1.0 Jumpmaster that doesn't have boost. Like it's still got Red Barrel Roll, which is pretty cool.
For me, I see it as a boost list IG-88.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fixed forward arc, no turret, right? No.
But like a 1.0 IG-88.
That yeah,
like,
1.0 IG-88.
It's pretty expensive. I mean, 53 points. If you just look at the stat line, it's the same stat line as the arc, except it gains a shield. And it goes from medium-sized base to large base. But that brings you from 42 points for the arc up to 53 points for the Sith. That's like,
yeah, but like
a
also
huge
that,
cost.
That Dark Corridor isn't a terrible ship. But
that's true.
Yeah, the dial's quite open, at least on the Infiltrator, with having the 5K, the 2 Talon rolls, like every other maneuver other than a 5 forward. Yep. And like, Maul with 3 Force, Initiative 5, and be able to take the Chancellor Palpatine crew, which unlimited Rebel captives is really good. But
well,
like,
the fact that you can take hate as well, like that's...
Yeah, take hate. That's going to be a real... I think that's like the only ship that you can see used a lot. But for me, it's like, that thing gets looked at by any type of swarm. It's still going to get... Yeah, sure, you're going to stress the swarm, but do you have the follow-up if you're going to lose this ship in that trade?
Right.
Because, like, this is, you're looking at essentially old-school Outer Rim Smuggler. What a GLD 10 hit points.
Yep. Like, now, granted, it can cloak, it can get to some places that are harder for people to track.
Oh, completely.
You know what I mean? And, like, hate gives you pretty much unlimited force.
Yeah, hate's really good. That's one I've not mathed out yet. Well, I haven't really mathed much of anything out, but that's super good. Recover a force every time you get a damage. Yep.
That's real strong. Force as a battery.
Yep. So like, but okay, just like Darth Maul with hate, Chancellor Palpatine, and Scimitar is 86 points base, right? So like, you're not you're probably fitting a tactical relay on there, which is pretty much should be named Kraken. I feel like, which means you get 5 vultures with pretty much nothing on them.
I think I was looking at Grievous because at least that you can try to reduce damage even further. He's pretty cheap at 3.
Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, but like
that synergizes well with 1 agility. You're going to be suffering 2 damage or more pretty often.
Yeah. The way I was looking at it is pretty much, yeah, you drop Kraken, you get Grievous, and you get 5 at least the Separatist drones. So you get initiative 3s.
Oh, so I would actually take the probe droids over them. It's like I'll take the ones because they're already too expensive.
Yeah, I was just like looking at what you can do. Like, yeah, you can go with the ones and take the Kraken. It all fits in there, but you just hit like pretty much a 1 point bid, which whichever way you go.
Oh, what else am I missing? Missed something else? Okay, so hate Palpatine, Grievous, Dark One probes, title, and then you get one of the other 2 tactical relays with 5 vultures.
Oh, you got the probes for 6. That's really good, I guess, get the target lock out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, your vultures aren't doing any damage if they don't have those target locks at the front.
Yeah. Man, I just can't fit enough. Like, you think, like, number-wise, and ships on the table, it seems good. But, like, in theory, like, it looks decent when you, like, look at the number of ships you have, the number of dice you have, but then you look at it, it's like, wait a second, these droids are going to just disappear.
Pop, pop, yeah. Pop, pop.
Like, so Wedge is going to, like, literally just make one disappear every round.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I face something like this in regionals, I'd be looking to kill the droids, like, kill 2 in the opening salvo, just because I could, and that's with a 4-ship Rebel build, right? So, I don't know. The problem with having a lot of ships has always been that even if the ships are efficient, you're having a really hard time getting them all to shoot at the same time. And if you can get them all to shoot at the same time, some of them are probably very far back. And the corollary to that is that if the ones in the front have a really nice juicy shot, they die anyway because they're low initiative. So maybe if you can find a way to swarm tactics up some of these things, but
well,
I mean, I don't know.
Not
that
really,
there's,
because
this, there's nothing else.
Yeah, and only the Bulbasaurs get talents. Like, all of the infiltrators are force users.
Right, and you need something that is reasonably cost-effective to be able to use swarm tactics anyway, because that's just a cost-efficiency play to begin with. So if it's not there, it's not there.
Yeah, well, being separatists, they don't have anything that's above initiative 3 anyway. Other than General Grievous and Maul, nothing else is initiative.
They're all super low.
At that point, you just take the separatist drones. You're trying to go for initiative 3. That's why, like, you can the choice is 2 points. Do you go initiative 3 or initiative 1? And you decide which other upgrades on it.
So yeah, even General Grievous in his starship is still only initiative 4.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, man. Like, even the Precise Hunter is 26. That's just such a hard sell.
And yeah, you take 3 of them.
They built in Predator,
Yeah, but it's like, okay, so you're paying 4 points for Predator on it, essentially.
Yep.
Because you have the exact same Separatist drone initiative, and you have the Predator ability. Oh, it's not even Predator, it's worse than Predator. It's reroll blank only. It's not even reroll any dice.
Sure. How often are you not going to have, a 9 calculate sitting around you?
When do you get networked calculations? You don't get those on the trade drones or the separatist drones.
No, you get it on
all of them.
I was just looking at Yasby right now, so it wasn't clear to me if the cheap initiative ones would also have access to group calculate tokens.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They should all have it.
Yeah. So that really doesn't make sense to spend 6 points to go from initiative 1 to initiative 3 and get the bullseye reroll.
Yeah,
that's really expensive.
So,
I really like the idea of all the stuff in this faction. It's just the price is probably not right on most of it. I hate announcing stuff as dead on arrival, but it seems like it's very similar to a TIE fighter as far as the cheapest one goes with its stats. Like, we were just talking about this before we recorded, right? So the Trade Federation drone plus grappling struts is maybe interesting, because now you're 23 points, which is the same cost as a TIE fighter, and you can land yourself on a rock and effectively get an additional agility. So now you get the same stat line as a TIE fighter. Pro, you can't move. Con, you can't move. You ignore the rock when shooting, so you're still a 2-3-3-0 stat line. I mean, it seems to me that, like, energy shell charges for 4 points is probably auto-include, so they're always rolling 3 dice, even at range 2 and 3, and opponents don't get the extra defense dice.
On the initial engage, at least.
Yeah. You have to reload. You only get one charge. But yeah, the energy charge cells are a solid upgrade for them.
They are. Yeah. It's a hard sell at 4 points, right? Because it's like, if you put that on 5 of them, you're losing a droid at this point.
Yeah, that's true. Because you are spending four points for 1 die.
Right. Like, that's a 20% increase of your ship cost, right? And you've got to remember, two of these things are dying in the opening exchange against almost anything. So do you really?
Yeah, the ones that you don't want to die are the ones that will die always.
Right. Yeah. So it's like you either have to free up 20 points to give them all energy cells, or I'm just gonna kill the ones that have energy shells. Right? You shoot at one, I get to shoot at basically anything that's not one in almost any normal list, including, four double tapping Y-wings with the support.
So you can get Maul with Hate and General Grievous. He's 71 points. And then you can get 6 drones, 3 of them with grappling struts, and 3 of them without, and that's 200 points even.
I
think you need Palpatine.
Yeah.
Palpatine is such an auto-include on Maul with Hate.
I think that's the only way Maul survives, and I don't think the extra drone or the 3 with grappling struts helps you in that same fight.
Yeah, I'd rather drop a drone and take 4 droids, the Separatist drones, the Initiative 3s with energy charge cells. So at least you'll be able to fire before some of the lower initiative stuff. You'll still be taken out by aces. But at least some aces won't be able to kill 2 because there's only 3 ships, maybe 4.
Yeah.
And that'll be the hope for it there.
Yep, that's fair. But even
You're still hoping, playing this list, you're going in hoping you're pretty much saying, my droids are all dead. Can they wipe off a ship or a ship and a half before the game ends?
Walk me through why you think Chancellor Palpatine is a good upgrade for, Darth Maul.
Do you remember Rebel Captive?
I do, but 14 okay. points but is what's a lot a rebel for captain a rebel captain.
Every single person that shoots him.
It's a rebel captain. You get to pick the target, and you still increases your force from 3 to 4.
Yeah.
So especially with Maul's ability, be able to attack twice if he spends 2 force, and he gets force back when he gets shot. And what it does is allow, if they do focus on Maul, you should be able to take about half your health, but stress the entire opposing list, so they cannot cater, and you can follow it up with whatever ships you have. Yeah. The issue is what follow-up do you have right now other than drones?
Right.
So I think, like...
What noodles? Woohoo!
Yeah.
But like,
and the other issue is how prevalent Leia is right now, so the stress isn't quite as strong against, like, Rebel West.
It hurts not as much, but... As soon as they K-turn, they're just to be unmodified now, not taking actions on those K-turns. So it's still quite important. And I think, like, especially for Resistance pretty much can't really even shoot Maul, or they use, like, single modifiers. Like, you look at how many A-Wings want to be stressed, Poe wants to be stressed, so like, it'll double stress them. And you get to control who gets stressed with Palpatine if they shoot you.
No, it's like, it's everyone.
It's everyone. You don't have to if you don't want
sure.
to, right?
But, like, if they're shooting Maul, he probably is going to get hit, which is procking hate, which means you have a free use of it anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It is after you defend, so yeah. I guess that means that you'll end up with 2 force at the end of it, even if you 3. Have regen.
Because you're base 4 now, because you have Palpatine on board.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah. So you start at 4, and then you go down... Well, you let's say you start at 3, and then you regen 1 from hate. Now you're at 4, and then that would have to happen before you use Palpatine.
Yep. So then
to
you use Palpatine, you're back at 3.
You're back at 3. Yeah.
But you're going to sit at 3 most of the time because you're going to be taking a damage from hate.
3 is a huge buffer.
Yeah.
And you'll regen at the end of the round, and then depending on, at least your attack will be pretty much modified. It's like you don't ever need to, like, the only action Maul's going to take is pretty much target lock or jam, which can really also really help. Doesn't really need to focus anymore.
I still don't feel great about that. I mean, it's a large base ship. It's easy to hit because it's 1 agility. And if you focus fire, it will die. So sure, you can stress a bunch of ships, but if he dies and he's 85 points, like if I'm flying against that, I'm happy to stress out my entire list if I can take that ship off the board in a round and a half. You know what I mean? That seems
completely. But fine. What other choice do they have, though?
Right. That's the thing. Like, that's kind of the rub. If I had 5 vultures that were the vultures with abilities, or 5 vultures that had Kraken supporting them and energy shells, now you can't ignore that. Like, everyone can ignore 5 vultures for a turn or two to go kill Darth Maul and then come back and just murder them.
So is anybody excited for this wave for, like, wow, this is cool thematic reasons, because they actually are looking forward to flying the episodes 1 through 3 ships? I want to get away just for a sec for poo-pooing it for competitive reasons. How do we feel about the theme?
Sorry, go ahead.
We're not a theme podcast. It's fine, whatever. Like... That's the most, like, do what you want at the bottom tables, man. Like, go have fun. If that's what you, if you want to fly 8 vultures because, like, hey, I like my vulture droids and I'm going to get all the vulture synergies together and do it, like, cool. Go have fun, dude. Like, it'll be, I'm sure you can put, like, Jedi have some cool stuff that you can put on the table that'll be fun at, like, a league night where you've got Anakin supernatural rolling and doing all kinds of crazy force shenanigans, and Ahsoka, like, passing him actions through the stress and all that kind of stuff, right? I don't think it's good, but it'll be cute and fun to, like, put on the table.
Yeah, put four named Jedi on the table with four named X-Wings that do silly things.
Yeah,
so it's gonna have fun flying around, but it's like...
Well, it's, you can get, like, 3, like, named... like, really positional Jedi on the table, like, some supernatural, some not, and it feels like running Soontir Jax Tur in 1.0, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can get wins. Like, you can, some things you just get to, like, auto win because they just can't handle you, but, like, the large majority of the time you're just running. You're like, oh, crap, I can't be here, and I can't be there, and I can't be over there either. I guess I run. Okay.
So how do we feel about Jedi's competitively, in the sense that they get, what is it? Basically, they get to spend a force to reposition, right? So they take your action, and then they get to reposition, and they don't have to get stressed for it.
Their extra action is actually before they take their action. It's after Flaherty's maneuver, they spend a force to boost a barrel. So it has to be before they focus or whatever else. So they can, they've repositioned it in a different order, but I don't know, that's pretty good. But they can't, the Republic, they can't take hate, so they're going to be force starved very quickly. Like, until, like, how many times have you played with Vader and just run out of force because you've taken so many different actions and you've been running around?
Yep. That's 100%. And, like, sure, you could take Palpatine in an arc and then flip Palpatine over to Sidious to try to recharge force with him. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
The dial's fine. Like, it's a fast ship. That's, I mean, it doesn't have the three turn, which is a little weird, but whatever. But, like, man, are they expensive. Like, Supernatural Anakin's 110 points with the Delta 7 mod.
But, like, who actually is winning tournaments with Supernatural? I don't see that many of them.
We literally just won the top. Fildo won the top 50 tournament with Supernatural Kylo. Like,
yeah, Supernatural Kylo. I think Supernatural Kylo is the only really.
He's the only one right now.
You're right. Yeah. So I guess I'll eat my words on that, because the number one player in Swiss at the Massachusetts Regionals had Quickdraw loaded out with a whole ton of stuff, and he had Supernatural Kylo.
Yep.
And he was undefeated until the top eight, and then he got wiped by the guy who turned out to be my top four opponent, who was flying another Rebel list with two X-Wings, a Y-Wing, and a U-Wing.
Gotcha. Which is, like, and realistically, the biggest problem Supernatural Kylo runs into is Leia right now, because I can put myself where you can't be back-to-back turns unless you can just ignore K-turn restrictions for a round, right?
Yeah.
Like, if your whole list is defenders, oh, okay, that makes me sad.
Wait. Go ahead.
No, like, a Supernatural Kylo is still very strong and very powerful. I'm trying to think. Like, I think Supernatural Anakin will be good. Like, but at 110 points, man, is that it's a lot of points.
For me, it's like, taking Supernatural Anakin's, like, say, like, really take Kylo is because he's going to be such an easy on your the last ship in your list, he's probably going to be more expensive than anything left on the table. You win on time regardless because you're going to be so expensive. You can do the same with Anakin, but if you do the 7B, he's behind 2 agility, so you can actually get sniped at range 3. Unlike Kylo, behind 4 dice comparatively. Yep. Kylo has hate, so any damage goes through, he can keep regenerating.
Anakin doesn't. He doesn't have hate, he has Supernatural.
Oh, Supernatural, sorry. No, wrong thing. But yes, he has an extra hit, but he's slightly faster. Both should be able to reposition with the same. Because the Anakin doesn't need to stress himself.
Right.
But for me, like, at least with the Kylo Ren, he can hit a little bit harder while still having the 3 agility. So if you want to keep the 3 agility in the Anakin, you're not going
to
be hitting
things. But I don't think you do. I think if you run Anakin, you have to run Delta B. He has to deal damage.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just hiding behind a point fortress no one can hit. But he also isn't threatening, so you just let him have a flank and not care.
Yeah, he's learning how to flank. And then this one comes to the second part. It's like, the Kylo Ren list still suffers from, if your quick draw, your list does not punch enough damage, then Kylo has to take a risk to get points on the table.
Yep.
Anakin's going to suffer the same thing, and you don't have, like, quick draw to back it up. You have low initiative arcs to do damage.
You have some generic arcs, yeah. And, well, so, like, on your survivability side, Anakin has the whole, like, force to evade, which is...
Yeah. Very,
puts them,
very useful.
Puts them, well, no, but that puts them real close on damage avoidance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, two agility being able to take an evade action versus 3 agility not being able to take an evade action, that's real close.
It is very close, yes.
So, I don't know. Like I said, he alone looks really cool. I don't know what you put with him. Like, I feel like the torrents are garbage, the arcs are fine, but, like, that means you have two generic arcs and, like, a 6-point bid. And I don't feel like if you have 110-point Supernatural Ace that a 6-point bid is big enough. But maybe, especially because Soontra's in the game now, right? Like, but boy, he's coming back with a vengeance.
Yeah, it would feel terrible. You take the Supernatural Reflexes, 110-point Anakin, he gets outflown or just out-initiative bid by Soontra Fell, just stays on his ass the entire game and dies.
Yeah, well, I Soontra should never kill him, but, like, it's just going to be annoying.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it shouldn't. You never know.
Well, yeah. So, I actually have to point out what my hyperspace list is going to be for Adepticon, because I have an early spoiler. I'm going to have the most ridiculous TIE interceptor you have ever seen on the table. So, be prepared. I just don't know what I'm going to fly with.
the most ridiculous interceptor? Is Fel's Wrath? Did that get spoiled?
No. It's Super Fel. It's just the most interceptor model.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That fits well. Okay. They're too good. They won't let me have this, will they? Of course it's 201 points. Why does the playtesting work? Okay. Why did I get signed? Okay. I got signed out. What's everybody, do we have any other thoughts on new stuff? This was just kind of a off the cuff stream of consciousness cast.
Yeah, I think we got most of the bases covered.
Okay. I feel like we, someone do this. What do we do for the contest? I wasn't here when Galen, was this your contest?
This was Will's, I believe.
Well, okay.
And what were something about if I remember last time, it was one Jedi plus generics.
Okay.
So you have one Force user as your pilot plus generics as your secondaries. So Jedi leading the charge. I think. Okay. That's what I'm not sure the whole thing. Will's not here. We maybe have to have Ricky chime in or add on.
Sure. Tell Ricky tack on here.
We can just do it real quick. So the guy Ricky or Will, someone selected.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was his name? Michael Orpheus Winnick?
Winnick? I don't know.
Anyway, he's a loyal Patreon supporter, and we liked his list. So it ended up being, Luke, Titan Perception, Proton Torpedo, R4 Astromech. And then for his two generics, he took two Warden Squadron pilots, both with barrage rockets, proton bombs, and one had Sabine Wren and an extra proximity mine. The other one had Cassian Andor. And then I think it totaled out with an 8-point bid. It feels like a reasonable, fair squad. Like, you have to do cool Sabine Wren things. And
for sure. Like, I mean, you have two bombing K-Wings that have barrage rockets. Those are just good ships. And, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of heightened perception, but at the same time, Luke has, like, a limited force anyway. So if he gets the lockdown on something and then gets to fire it off at 7, that's pretty strong. I would be scared of that. No one wants to have a mostly modified proton torp coming their way.
Yeah.
I see it. I get it. We'll have to see what, man, can you even get a good, Anakin with, yeah, I guess it's Anakin and two ARC-170s. Sure, whatever. And even that, I'm not sure. Man, Anakin would be running for so much because he just can't take a prox mine to the face. Like, he's like, oh, I can't be here. Oh, I can't be there either. Oh, that's going to hit me with a prox mine. I guess I have to go over here now. Oh, well. All you Wave 3 players, buy your stuff. Let FFG know you love their product. Wait till July. We'll get a nice points decrease.
Some of the other good stuff will add points. Their points will go up.
Yeah, hopefully for sure.
Work out.
Okay. Does someone want to come up with a contest?
We don't need another contest.
Yeah. Do we have another one running besides this?
I don't think so, but if Ricky's not here, who's going to be?
Yeah, or we'll just tell. Stops. How does? Whatever. We'll just tell Ricky to tack a contest on if he wants to. Whatever. All right. Well, that's it for the B team guys. Thanks for everyone jumping on. Thanks for listening. I'm your not host Tyler. Thanks for Bob, Kalen, and Alex for jumping in with me. And enjoy your Wave 3. Go have fun at League Night running ridiculous stuff that's not tournament good, but like fun to play.
I'll be excited to see all those droids on the table.
Yeah, someone's got to play them. I'm not getting any right now.
I know someone is. Someone's going to try to fly 10 of them.
You know, there it is, right? Like 10 of them, I'd almost go like, oh man, that's starting to get scary, right? Because it's 10 ships. I don't think it's actually scary, but it's getting there.
Yeah,
it would be a conspiracy theory that FFG would be making us buy so many more models.
Sure, yeah. My money grab. Okay, buddy, well, whatever.
Technically, it fits in the points. It's only the tournament rules that stop you on 8 ships, so...
Right. Oh, yeah, man. If if this is kitchen table, you very much do what you want.
Yeah.
Hey, kitchen table, make up your own points that you think make sense anyway.
Oh, 2 points for them. Take 100 of them.
That's good. Proton bombs, baby. Trajectory simulator proton bombs.
I don't know if you brought enough proton bombs for 100 ships. Like, okay, whatever. Ah, you killed 10. Cool, I have 90 left.
Can you actually fit 100 in your deployment zone?
No. Hard pass, no.
Anyways.
I'm glad you said deployment zone. I was like, I could fit 100 on the table. Like, and what section do we have to reduce the table down before I can't fit 100?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I am hopping out because I need to...